Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, brothers and sisters, we're live with our weekly broadcast, Witches Infiltrated Christianity. We showed you how they infiltrated, and now they're in our communities, decimating us, ripping us apart. And it is no wonder, there's no coincidence that at the very end, they will use witches from Black Lives Matter to actually utterly eradicate us before the what? Before the immigration thing would come in to take us out altogether. Folks, we are under a spiritual genocide and a physical genocide, and the only one who could save us is our God through Christ. And guess what? It's not just our people. Gentiles who seek to be saved through this can follow the light, which is Christ's ministry right here today. Okay? Let's make it clear. I don't have no problem against no people. All right? Even though I know I'm Israel. Every person should have an opportunity to choose what's right, and that's Christ's path. And we're here to facilitate that. 515-605-9327. Sunshine, where you been, young lady?
Hi. Shalom. Hi. Hi, Elder.
How you doing?
Hello.
I'm blessed. Come on, let's talk. Let's talk, girl. Come on, bring it.
Okay, Elder. Oh, wow. It's either we laugh or we cry because it's just absolutely appalling the levels of deception that we are shown, and the word says that they do lie. And with such conviction, like you said, do these dissemblers cast spells to such a degree of reprobate in spirit that they themselves believe and uphold a lie, and the methodologies of this world are duplicitous. It's like a raging sea of anything goes, and everyone knows, and no one is wrong, but everyone is right all at once. And it's the Babylonian confusion in these end days that we are now seeing with such starkness as those forefathers who were able to see the dangers that we would endure in order to make it to the end. And it's just baffling to see the depths of which our communities have fallen and how normal and commonplace this so-called craft has become. It is so normal for the masses to empathize with a depressed or anxious or dark thinking, traumatized, that it opens the doors for all people who feel and act damaged, or anyone who choose it can now clamor to the paganism full board. So any person, honest human, can pose as a kind, helpful civil servant and community builder, but in reality, the same disillusionment that was in the pipe papers is now seen with the restaurant manager or the waitress at a gas station or a story time tran artist that would either stand next to us live or reach their tentacles into our devices with their own crafty devices with consorted attacks against our children trying to sacrifice them. And worst of all, these are perps and peddlers that attempt to claim victimhood, like Elder Lawyer was saying, and prove themselves victim with sad life experiences that were untreated, or pretentious victims because they're operating in a kind of sadomasochism, and they take great pleasure in multiplying the wickedness on earth and shedding the innocent blood, sometimes through indoctrination leading to the torments of hell or just straight murder. And they're in foolish brazenness trying to mock and move people from Christ, who's the only way, our only truth, and our only life, and by falsely claiming him, trying to change the truth of our Lord and Savior into a lie. And this attempt by itself shows how weak and bound and envious and needy and destroyed these crafters already are. But only in humility and the mindset of righteousness according to the word will we ever be set free. And that's all I wanted to say, Elder. Bless you. Praise the Most High.
Bless you. Welcome back. Good to hear from you. Great to hear from you, Sunshine. Great. She's a great listener, copious note taker, and she's very, very well spoken. Thank you, sister. Let's go to the next call, Witches Infiltrated Christianity. We have Mawara with a comment. Mawara.
Shalom, Elder. How are you doing today?
I am blessed by the best, and his name is Ahaya. How are you?
Don't you know? I am blessed, and I just am so glad I was able to get in here on this. I have a few quick points. I'm going to run through them real fast and jump through a couple. The first thing is that with the young lady that you were mentioning, the attractive younger woman, you know, she's talking about how, you know, being a black woman, the oppressed, you know, all of these things. But the thing is, being a witch is it's racialized anyway, because, you know, you have the whole white witch is, you know, black magic, you know, so there's always still this present racialization in their craft. So why would you even want to join something that's already making this huge divide and casting you as the negative anyway, if you say that's what you're trying to get away from? So that's kind of the first thing. Secondly, to the point of the woman, I'm sorry?
Okay, that's a great point. But go on.
Okay. The second thing is to the woman who was saying that the Bible does not condemn witchcraft. Obviously, she's never really read the Bible, or certainly not the Old Testament anyway. But if, you know, we definitely know that witchcraft is antichrist, because it seeks to give the person control over their world instead of exercising Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, you know, trusting in the Most High with all our hearts and letting him guide our path. Because if we were doing that, we wouldn't need tarot cards. We wouldn't need astrology to determine, well, should I get with him? Or, you know, maybe what sign is she? Should I get with her? We wouldn't need that if the Most High was directing your path. And the last point I wanted to point out on that is, you know, they are basically hiding what witchcraft really is by claiming that what the scriptures call laying on of hands, the use of herbs for meat, you know, for the healing of the body. They're trying to blur those lines and say, well, that's witchcraft too. Well, no, it's not.
No, it's not.
You know, it's not. So what they're trying to do is kind of marry those together to show, or, you know, put that seed of doubt in people, say, well, I, you know, do herbs, or I use herbs, or I, you know, if I'm sick, I go to my elders and I let them lay hands on me and pray over me. That's some kind of way witchcraft, and we absolutely know that it is not. Last little point that I was going to say is that on my job, we have a...
You cut out.
Majority of them,
you said,
were in a cover.
You said you're on your job, the majority of women at your job were a part of a witch coven?
Yes, of the nurse division, and I'm not even going to say what I do at this particular point, but they, you know, that little Deathly Hallows symbol, the circle with the, like, triangle thing in it, kind of what the girl had on her neck right there, they all had these little tattoos, and I'm like, oh, and of course, you know, praise the Most High for eyes that can see and ears that can hear, because I was watching and listening to them, and now many of them who are not necessarily nurses, but in other areas, they tell you straight out, oh, I'm a pagan. They're witches. I'm going to do my priestess stuff this weekend. When we're talking about, oh, so anybody got great plans this weekend? Oh, yeah, I'm going to do my priestess stuff. Like, they are not hiding anything. That I yield, unless you had a follow-up question.
It's just why are we so, as a people, ignorant to Satan's devices when it comes to witches and all of these in our community? Sister, I need you to understand this, and I'm glad you brought this out. You started talking about how prevalent witches are in the nurse and areas where these trusting positions. I need you to think about this, sister. Mm-hmm. I don't think we'll ever understand the depth of the destruction Black Lives Matter has perpetrated on our communities. I think that our community as a whole, I think that was the coming together all together at the very end, the time we're living in, of how they were able to infiltrate us and then come to the forefront. We didn't see this coming.
Yeah.
A Marxist group used by black women who hate men and all of that will actually not only seek to take down us and our community for a dollar, but to take down anything that's wholesome or believes in God. And the fact that they would use a black witch to do it, when we know the majority of our sisters grew up in the Christian church, we're not initially witches. A lot of them was converted by dealing with these witch covens of these Europeans who are operating in silence in our communities or in these colleges, recruiting our sisters in these colleges. How did we allow this to happen? How did we allow them to do this right up under our nose to destroy us inside? Your thoughts.
Well, I think, and that's an excellent question, what I think is that the witchcraft has always been prevalent in our community in simple ways, like, you know, we do the astrology. We're big on the astrology. I know you know, we're probably around the same age, but, you know, the 70s and 80s, you know, it was really, really big. And, of course, you know, sisters were all about that, the reading, getting your reading done, your, you know, what's in your first house and your second. So we were already kind of digging into that anyway, but we didn't see it as witchcraft. We talked about it at church. We talked about it in our jobs. You know, what's your sign? Well, my boss is a Cancer, and I don't get with that, you know, whatever. So I think it was already weaving itself into the fabric of our communities in that way. Also, you added that level of feminism to it. You talked about that, you know, a while back in another broadcast, but you married that to that feminist idea that was kind of coming out also in the 70s. So I think you just kind of have that perfect storm, you know, for women to see that. And it's true, when you are oppressed and when you want, what does an oppressed person want? They want to be able to control what's going on in their environment. You know, I want to be able to control outcomes. So this
this is a fail-safe way into being in total control to avoid any damage that could happen in the future if they're in control of it all. And the craft allows them that. And another reason why they'll choose a man who's easily manipulated too. And here's a point I want to make about that, right? There's a word that's been going around our community lately that I've been hearing when women say that they're going to manifest their man. Now, well, I'm going to manifest them. They say write it down and manifest it, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of us don't even understand that these are key points of the craft for witches. It seems like a subtle word to manifest something, but on your screen, you hear women say this all the time. I'm going to manifest whatever I want in my life. I'm not going to allow you to block that through a word. I'm going to manifest it, right? I need y'all to look at y'all screen, folks, which says, here's the word, the secret word of witches, manifestation methods that actually work according to a witch. So, sisters, sometimes we be adopting witch language without even knowing it.
Yeah, vision board.
We adopt witch language. Mm-hmm. And this stuff comes from somewhere. To you, it sounds good. It sounds, you know, it sounds like you're knowledgeable in the conversation and all that. But we are repeating witch terms, ancient witch terms. When you see, when you hear a woman who said, people ask, well, why are you single? Like, what's going on? Everything is okay with you. Well, he haven't manifested yet. As if you have something in the pipeline going on that will manifest a man. And if it isn't God, who is it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because what? And I'm going to talk about this in the roundtable discussion. Okay, there was no manifestation. The Most High seen man who needed a help meet, and he woke up and she was there.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to doing the Most High's will, he's the manifester. You're not going to sit there talking about you're going to manifest anything. If you do what's right and accept instead of always looking for something else. And this is another word, a witchcraft word. I'm not going to settle. Right? Not going to settle. When you look at that, that actually translates when you listen to it to what? Insatiable. You're not satisfied with who and what you're qualified to have. Insatiable. But I'm going to be going into that. Thank you, sister. Great call. So we have these words and start and get back to the simplicity of how God intended for us to interact with one another. I really appreciate it, sister. All right, next call. We we have. I'll bring you in a second, Hakeem. I see you there. I got a few more in front of you, all right? We have Cora with a comment.
Shalom, Elder. I just have got a couple of things I want to bring out. When I was in my early 20s, I would even question the Bible when I thought about, you know, all those things. How did those things even happen in the Bible? You know, the things, you know, that were, you know, manifested by God. And I said, I just don't see it. I just don't believe that all that really happened. And then later on, at times, I had even gone to even consulting mediums, and I had been fascinated with people who could, you know, feel things or something like that. And then later, on my job, there was this one woman that, you know, she had hosted a psychic fair, and I even went to the psychic fair and was checking them out. And I said, oh, I think this is what, you know, Christ was trying to work, and he came to tell us how to do this or do that. And I said, I've had everything, you know, just kind of all confused and mixed up. So I think, you know, that I found the Gathering of Christ Church that, you know, it can kind of straighten me out, that I know what's what now and everything, and what's not acceptable, what is acceptable, what is manifested by God, what Christ can do and what God does and everything, and what to stay away from. So it has kind of really cleared the situation, you know, got me, you know, on the path. And like I said, I've been listening to your videos since 2013, and so it is so enlightening. Yeah, and then I've been in the academy. Let's see, this is my eighth academy I'm in now, and it is enlightening. Yeah, and so,
listen, these academies are going on, they're going on another level now through the Spirit of the Most High.
Yes.
They're going to the next level, spiritual warfare.
Right.
It's needed.
Yeah, the spiritual warfare. Yeah, that is great. Okay, that's pretty much it. But I just want to make mention. In fact, I know in a previous video you were talking about you in the basement sewing uniforms for the group you were in. I was just wondering, was that the purple and gold uniforms you were sewing?
This was before the purple and gold. Israelite United in Christ didn't come on the scene until YouTube and all that was up. They were very small. Don't forget, there was no Israelite United in Christ. All of us at one point was under the Israeli Church of UPK, not the new rebrand of that, not the new rebrand that happened under Yohanna. So in a nutshell, just to give you some insight, we were all together at that time. Nate and Tahar, whose GMS, were under the New York camp of the Israeli Church of UPK, and I was in Philadelphia under Haradavia Dawada. That's when Yohanna came here to Philadelphia. And that was the early 90s. And that's when I started doing the sewing and all these things. I didn't need to teach because, I just wanted to help the saints. I didn't know the Most High was going to. I didn't know that I had the gift to be able to teach, actually. But then what happened was there was in a nutshell, I can tell you what happened in a nutshell, because you had so many people that's on the outside are coming up with their own conclusions, not even understanding anything that happened because they weren't there. They weren't a part of it. What happened in a nutshell is that there was a dispute between Aria, who just passed not too long ago, may the Most High bless his soul, and Maisha, who they claim was Moses reincarnated, right? Let me break it down to you. I'm just going to give it to you. And even though there is no reincarnation, that is what they believed, okay? That's what we all believed at the time, because I was a young student at the time, right? But there was other important factors that were true. So I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Okay, I'm not here to shame or attack anyone. I'm just going to tell you how it was, because through all those levels, it led us to where we are today. So I'm not going to say that it was all bad or try to look down on anyone like that. Christ doesn't want that. I'm just giving you the understanding of what happened. There was a split between Maisha, and Aria. Those under Maisha became the house of David. The house of David is where Nathaniel, who's now over IUIC, and Tahar went with Maisha, whom they deemed was Moses and listen to me clearly, and David. He was Moses reincarnated as David. And that's who Nathaniel and Tahar was under until they broke off. Okay, this was before the internet. Myself and others in Philadelphia stayed under now what would be called the Israeli Church of UPK. Okay? Now, later down on the line, right, when YouTube came in, at that point, I'm Gavin of Christ Church. I'm totally not a part of that anymore. In the early 2000s, I was no longer a part of that. What happened even before that, before I was no longer a part of that in 2001, 2002, they had a brother, may the Most High bless his soul, he passed already, by the name of Tazadakia, who became the comforter. They claimed he was the Holy Spirit. Now, I wasn't around when that happened, okay? Because there's no way I was going to look at this brother who was a part of a video department, seen him coming in, and think that he was the Holy Spirit. They knew that none of us would have been able to actually accept that nonsense, okay? So I wasn't even there when that happened, all right? So then they became the Israeli Church of God in Jesus Christ, I think their name was. And while I was speaking on the street in 2008, 2009, he came up with a bunch of men to try to intimidate me from teaching a brother on the corner, but I wasn't dealing with that mess, all right? So later, after Tahar and Nathaniel, they broke off, Nathaniel and another brother became what you would call the Israelite United in Christ in the purple we see today.
Okay.
So that's how that was. All right. When I was making garments, I made garments for not just the Philadelphia area, but also for the so-called at that time high priest during Passover, I would clothe the so-called high priest. But now in hindsight, I realize there is no high priest. Christ is our high priest, who's our sacrifice and our priest, okay? Who's actually the intercession for us daily. He intercedes for us daily as priests. So I'm just putting it out there, setting the record straight. Now, you got people who are not even recognized to some degree, like Gorilla and all these other people. These are just spinoffs from Tahar and others who don't, they're not even they're not even anything as far as tipping the needle here. I'm just giving you the origin of those who really made an impact through the Spirit of the Most High in our current times, okay? Yehanna ended up remaking Israeli School of UPK, a Church of UPK. He ended up rebranding that and becoming a leader over that. Okay. So that's what it is all together. But all in all, we all know we're Israel. We are brethren. And even though that doctrine is different than what I understand to be true today, I still pray and hope for the best when it comes to all of my brethren in this truth.
Okay.
I just want to set the record straight because I see people out there who weren't there trying to claim I was in a time period that didn't even exist that I can't even remember. So because they're not there, they got to make things up. All right.
I also like to mention, I said, I got my calendar today. The calendar is awesome. I ordered five of them to send out to my friends. I had them all come here to me and then I just sent them out. My daughter's got one hanging up in her hallway right now.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. It's just that thank you. And it goes a long way because it is helping a family over there. We just lost a bishop over there in the UK and some of the proceeds are going to them. But yes, the calendar, this is our best today. And I
was surprised.
Very nice, right?
Yes, it is very nice. But I looked at his date of birth, and I was surprised to see how young he was, you know. Yeah. But, yeah. It's beautiful.
All right.
All right.
Well, thank you, sister. Let's get to the next call. Thank you. Thank you. All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Going down the line, we have Barazai.
Hello.
Shalom, Barazai. Am I pronouncing your name correct?
Barazal.
I'm sorry. Yeah, how are you, Barazal?
Yes, sir. Doing well. Shalom. I just had a couple of quick questions. As far as like when we read in scripture about marking our bodies like with tattoos and things, they do have that medical procedure with the laser removal of them. Is that a good procedure, even though it's some type of etching on the skin? Is that considered just as bad?
Well, I don't know, because I don't know exactly what goes into that, whether or not it looks even better afterwards. Usually, don't forget, the Bible tell you in time past, he winked at our ignorance, but command everyone everywhere to repent. So if you mark your body before understanding it was sin, keep in mind that you will receive a new one of these anyway. It's more so what's in you than what's on the outside of you. Now, if you put something damning on your body, like a pentagram or Satan or someone drinking blood or some crazy stuff, then you probably want to take measures to get that moved off of you. All right?
Yes, sir. My other question was, I think you spoke about it when we was talking about the Pharaoh that was at the time of Moses. Wasn't he like a demigod? Wasn't he a demigod of some sort?
Well, yes. When you hear of Pepe, the little midget, Pepe the midget was the Pharaoh during Moses' time.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know if
he was a dwarf.
Like some type. Okay, I didn't know if he was some type of Nephilim or something. Oh,
he
okay.
was part Nephilim. So, he was Nephilim. He was a dwarf.
Okay, with him being part Nephilim, is that kind of like a reason how the Most High decided to harden his heart and kind of like not give him the choice to choose life or death or right from wrong? Or is that complete?
Well, no, his height and his race didn't have anything to do with why the Most High hardened his heart. It's the Most High hardened his heart so he can show his power.
Okay.
The same way when it tell you in Romans the 9th chapter, the same reason the Most High has hardened Esau's heart. Esau should have been leaned off of us and gave us rest. But the more we come closer to the truth, the more oppression Esau produces. Like the example I can give, he know our people are suffering in America and in these other countries right now, but he made the countries our people live in third world so that he can do what? He can just siphon us as slaves. And then on the top of that, we have our people suffering right here in America. We built America. And we're living in tent cities and all that. They're talking about taking away any subsidies our people have, and they're opening up where all these finances, government finances, are going to have immigrants from India and Asia to come in with housing and finances on top of everything, knowing that our people actually built the country. So this is Pharaoh again hardening his heart against us. Since we know we're Israel, it's Esau and the devil, his father, saying, well, either you bow or we're going to do what? We're going to actually extradite you out of the system altogether. We'll X you out until you beg us to be let back in. So that's what's going on. They could easily stop immigration and help our people who are suffering, but this is Pharaoh again under Esau now doing what? Making our people build brick with straw. So it has nothing to do with his race in particular than who he is. He's prideful. And he seeks to consolidate power, such as what? Such as Pharaoh was. So that's what it's talking about. It's talking about his heart. When it says hardening his heart, he changed his mind. Okay? Pharaoh would consider it, and then he would have a change of mind the next day and say, no, I'm not letting them go. What of Egypt's greatness if I allow the children of Israel to leave? Egypt is great because of these Israelites. So then he would change his mind. But the Most High did that so that the Most High can show his power. The more, okay. the more Pharaoh disagreed or altogether defied our God, the more pain he put on the Egyptian citizens. And guess what? The more they have our people suffering in these countries, the more they come against our people, because Christ has a spirit in this earth that's delivering Israel and or at the same time delivering, sending plagues to where the citizens of this world will begin to suffer if they continue to oppress God's people. And brother, that's the time we're living in right now. The world is on notice. We're in the same time we were coming out of Egypt. And that's all I can say here. I'll talk about this more Friday during Patriot. All right?
Cool. The water elders. Shalom.
All right. Thank you. Deborah has a question.
Shalom, elders. This is Deborah from Cincinnati.
Hey, Deborah. I'm blessed by the best. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Blessed also. Quick question. My husband and I, we go to these coffee shops here and there. We visit the local ones a lot too. We often notice if it's not the sodomites, it's mainly those who dabble in witchcraft. They have the black, you know, fingernail polish. They're looking like witches. They're looking dark. They have these weird dark sayings on their walls and things like that. And we see it not only locally, but pretty much a lot of coffee shops, and we often wonder, like, what is the correlation between witchcraft and coffee shops? And I just wonder if you had the answer.
That is a good question when you ask, what is the spiritual connection between witchcraft, why witches and weird people tend to work at Starbucks, like, right? That's your question. Well, I'll tell you what. Outright, all due respect, there is some good coffee at Starbucks, but when you look at the emblem that's on the Starbucks coffee, there's a mermaid there, right? That mermaid was explicit until Starbucks changed what that emblem was, because it showed her holding her legs up under a showing a sexual position for the original mermaid that was on Starbucks. I don't know if you've seen that. You can look it up. But all in all, it tells us in the book of Enoch that the women that the angels slept with, the punishment for them was to be turned to sirens or mermaids. And they would live in the waters, in the depths of the waters, for a time until judgment. With sometimes luring sellers in to be killed who would fall to their craft and or come to land 4 times a year to lure men into the sea. Okay? So a lot of people don't know that emblem on Starbucks is one of those mermaids, one of those fallen ones, goddesses, who would turn to mermaids. And they straight worship her as a deity, I mean as a goddess. So you're going to find a bunch of weird people up in Starbucks because a lot of these witch covens understand the level of craft that comes with worshiping the goddess over Starbucks. You got that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So just like
yes.
These churches, you think that the same way, the way Starbucks kind of is built around that, these local ones are also the same way?
Yeah, yeah. And listen, a lot of them just want to make some money, and this is where they can congregate together without feeling attacked, because a lot of these people grew up, you know, I would say loners. They grew up without anyone to protect them, so They find areas where they feel comfortable around one of each other. Okay, these are the people who usually didn't get any attention in college and all these others, and they become a small group within themselves and are empowered, like we've seen that young lady empowered in turn to the craft, you know, which is one of our sisters. Well, the rejected amongst white people does the same. They do the same. They get their little comfortable places where they feel comfortable around each other, and when they get a job, like you do also, if we get a job and we usually recommend those of like mind and bring them in with us. They roll together. But but you can find them in Starbucks because that's where, you know, a lot of them worship the goddess and come directly out of covens. All right?
Oh, that makes a lot of sense to me. Whatever.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Great questions, though. You can jump in any time if you have any questions, Elder Lloyd, or if you have any points you make on some of these questions. Another name for that particular pharaoh, okay? He's Pepi II, right, of Egypt. He was a dwarf. Another name for him that you can find in the book of Jasher is Adikam. A-D-I-K-A-M, Adikam, the dwarf, okay? And a matter of fact, he's celebrated throughout all of our, amongst animation and within society as a dwarf or a treasure troll. When you talk about the leprechaun and all these others, it goes directly back to Pepi II, the dwarf, or Adikam. That was the name. Adikam was the name of the pharaoh during the time of Moses. It wasn't Ramesses. And when we go into the next installment of the Academy, Elder Lawyer, we're already getting that together. This is going to be spiritual warfare for this 3 months. And the next 3 months will be what? Archaeology and history. When we go into the next installment. So we'll be going into, straight out that timeline to show you what pharaohs were in position during the time of Israel, our people being in Egypt. We weren't under Ramesses. That was a lie. We were under Adikam during the time of Moses. Adikam is his name, or Pepi. Pepi the dwarf. He's a little short little dude. Well, at that time, it could not have been a Napoleon complex. He had a Pepi complex, okay? But anyway, Nephilim comes in all different sizes. They're not just giants. Sometimes they're dwarfs, okay? All right, what's the next call? 510 area code, Tierra.
Shalom, Elder, how are you?
I'm blessed by the best, and his name is Ahiah. Talk to us.
I'm calling just to say, first, I want to give honor to the Most High God. He allowed me to get baptized on March 4th, and I am so honored and grateful for that.
Welcome to the fold.
Thank you so much. It was raining and everything, and I was like, let me go ahead and get in the water anyway.
Hey, listen, you're going to get wet anyway, right?
Exactly. I was like, Lord, this is the coldest water I've ever touched. I was like, well, it's all worth it for you. I wanted to ask one question first. So I want to pay for the academy, unfortunately, but I have to pay my tithes too. I'm not, like, making a whole lot of money. Do you think the Most High would be upset with me to go ahead and pay for the academy with my tithe money? Or should I just pay my tithes and have to wait?
Well, sister, listen, I'm not the arbiter of whether or not the Most High is going to do if you don't have anything, you know what I mean? If that's all you have and you want to pay for the academy, I'm going to leave that up to you. That's between you. Don't feel guilty. Whichever way you feel to support, it's up to you. All right?
Thank you so much. I was like, Lord, I don't want anybody to be.
Yeah, no. There is grace, too. Just, I'm not the arbiter of that. Whichever one you want to do is up to you. being that you're in such tough restraints, that's understandably so. So I'm saying that for you, you know. All right. Okay.
Thank you. I was going to make a point about the witchcraft part, about how it was at first introduced to me as a child. How it was first introduced to me as a child was first the astrology. It was like, oh, you're a Scorpio. And it's just like, oh, what's that?
Who introduced
it to
you?
My mom told me the first part about being a Scorpio when I was little. I don't know how we even got into it. And then after that, I just wanted to read the newspaper all the time and find out everybody else's sign. And that was one of the first ways I was introduced to it. And then my grandmother used to watch a whole bunch of horror movies with us. When I'm talking about horror movies, I'm talking about some of the most scariest movies I've ever seen. And I was like, oh, wow, like this is real. This must be how you get powers. And when you're young, you're like, oh, I can get powers like this. So it became really intriguing for me. And then going to school and watching Tales from the Hood was really like what set the bar. It's like, oh, wow, you could actually do this if you think like this. So that was one of the ways how I first got introduced to these things. And I felt like when I was really, really young, when I was about 3 years old, I've always begged my mom before that, like, can you take me to church? Can you take me to church? Can you take me to church? I used to have like so many demonic dreams. And I didn't understand why I was having these dreams. So I always felt like when I was younger, there was some type of attack on my life. It was like, oh, you see, that you're going to, and I've always known it's either God or Satan. You got to go full blown for either one, which one is going to be. And I was just like, I just can't see myself giving myself over to Satan. Like, that's just so dark. Because even then when I was younger, I was like, it just seemed like that's not something you could really come back from so easily. So that was one of the ways that I really gravitated towards it at first until I learned, like, oh, wait, this is actually wrong. Like, this is not what you're supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to be talking about horoscopes with people at church. People shouldn't be telling you that you should be dating this person. It's not going to work. And then I got into dreams really heavily because they were so vivid. Like, I used to be able to tell people about their dreams. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, this means this, and this person is doing this to you. And I'm just like, I don't think that was from God. This is not from God. You're not even consulting the Most High. You're just going around telling people what you feel and what you know off these evil things that you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was one of the ways.
I'm glad you were able to use the introduction of all of these crafts, using yourself as an example from such an early age. And I'm going to tell you why. This is also showing the power of women, and not just the power of women from the negative side. Suppose that introduction to the world when it comes to understanding spirituality was in righteousness and virtue, like we see our women are in the Bible, right? Suppose that first introduction of Christ and the Most High and God's law was introduced through that same nurturing spirit, that same caring spirit. That shows you the power of women, and this is why they choose to push the craft to women, because women have that influence, that trust and influence that has a serious impact on not just little girls, but their sons.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important that you're mentioning in this, so that sisters are careful of what they introduce to our children at an early age. We might think it's innocent, but these programs were made to do what? To make initiates into the occult with subconsciously through their programming. Like you were at an early age, you were urged to become a witch without even understanding it. And your mother had a play in that. So, and guess what? It wasn't intentional from her where she was. It wasn't her intent. But that also highlights the importance of us to get back with this Bible and to have our women now use that same influence on the light or the righteous side of things with the Word of God now. Right? What I'm saying is now our sisters have to tell our young children from an early age, this is what a witch looks like. This is what a warlock is. This is what witchcraft is. Okay, this is what astrology is. Okay, a lot of people don't even know astrology is involuntary worship of angels. It's really worshiping the angels that are over the gates between heaven and earth. It's 12 of them. Now, these angels didn't ask anyone to worship them. Okay? They didn't ask anyone to highlight them as gods. Right? This was a low-level thing that happened when the gods fell under Satan, where they would have people pay homage to the gates leading into heaven instead of the God who created the angels over the gates. It falls right back into what Elder Lawyer was bringing out earlier in Wisdom of Solomon, the 13th chapter. Okay? So it's upon our women now to say, tell our young men and women, this is wrong. And if somebody comes to you with this, you need to talk to us first. If anybody comes to you with any level of craft, no matter how high or low, or it doesn't matter how innocent it might seem, talk to me. Witches are everywhere. And when they regenerified our community, sister, I don't think it's a coincidence. Before they come in and regenerify, they do what? They move one of their witch and warlock families that's in college on the block first. These are these so-called white people with locks and all that and black lipstick. They move one on the block before they regenerify the whole neighborhood. So when you see they get a house there, know they're about to take the whole neighborhood. They usually send them in as scouts. And then little after them, they sitting there, you know, innocent. You think they're innocent, but really they're there as scouts, and eventually guess what? The whole neighborhood is going to be taken over. They usually send them in first as scouts, unassuming in our community. They send in the witches and warlocks first, and they get a little house somewhere on the block. No one is thinking anything about them. And when you look up what's going on, there's no more of our people left, and they're jogging and walking poodles in a regenerified neighborhood. And you be start with the witches and warlocks as a sign that they're about to take the community. That's all I have to say on that. Well, thank you, sister.
You're welcome. Thank you, Elder. God bless.
You're welcome. Great call today. And it falls right into our academy theme, light against darkness, spiritual warfare. Folks, we're the children of light. They switched that whole thing up by having us call white people white and black people black. And white, red people white, because there's no white people, and brown people black. And that's also part of their magic, because we all know black magic is evil. Black cake is bad. Devil's food is black cake. So you have to understand subconsciously they've allowed us to accept their magic of being less than. They call us the darkness while they're the light. It's a craft, folks. We're not black. They're not white. I'm brown. They're red. I'm Jacob. They're Esau. So we fed into their craft because why? Words have meaning. We take on the name black and then look in a dictionary and it's everything we shouldn't be. Sully, dirty, without light, void of understanding, dirty. And then you go to white. Pure, without blame, innocent. See, that's subtle craft. Zachary 443.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, how are you?
I'm excited, but at the same time, I need some help because personally, I call it working in the dragon's den because I don't know if the term would be racist or what, but I work inside of a Jaffa-owned company. So they believe in a lot of astrology and stuff. So, and
when
like.
You say Jaffa. You're being coded. You're working in a Chinese, predominantly
yes.
Chinese company.
Yeah.
Okay, is that company within the United States or are you overseas?
United States.
So you're living in the United States, working in a predominantly Chinese company.
Well, I'm not the only Nubian Israelite brother working there. It's a few, not a lot, but it's a few. But
okay,
yeah, it's aging on.
Hold up, what's a Nubian Israelite?
I'm just saying that's another word instead of saying black.
Oh, okay, all right. So what you're saying is that you and a few other brothers, Israelites, are working there amongst the Asians who are dealing with all types of witchcraft and sorcery.
Correct.
What have you witnessed amongst them as far as the dark side?
What I was excited about to tell you was I was talking to a young aged man.
Are you there?
Yeah. That he was asking me. It all started with how I eat. And he offered me some pork. And I said, no, I don't eat pork. And he said, why not? I said, because the way I believe.
It's
so
unclean.
And I
see, brother, listen. There's parts of the craft. The Bible, you have to understand that the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. You got to know when you're being tested. Right?
So when I told him, I asked him, do you believe in God? I asked him a simple question.
No, listen, brother. Let me tell you, I'm going to tell you what's about to happen if you don't be careful of what's happening here. If you don't learn how to answer these questions right amongst these people, it's going to be every Tuesday you're going to be calling in where they're going to tell you to put in your number to make sure that your unemployment gets in by tomorrow. They're going to give you that number to call. Okay, and to make sure your unemployment, is direct deposited into your account. Okay, you have to realize that when you are at your job, you very rarely speak concerning what you believe. You become a target. You are a target. When someone comes to you with some pork, you can let them know, nah, I'm good. Why you don't eat pork? Because I don't eat pork.
But
I'm going to tell you right now, brother. Listen. Because I don't eat pork. You don't got to know what I believe. You don't got to know what scriptures I'm reading. Because, well, brother, there are going to be meetings outside of you about you. And I know this by experience. Be very careful. So they came in with the pork on purpose, based on the prior conversations, to see, because they're already filling out whether or not you are an Israelite. And let me tell you, only they're going to start finding ways of writing you up for no reason at all to justify your firing. That's how it works. I don't need pork. Well, why? Because that's a test. Usually when they're trying to give us pork, they know we're Israelites. They know that our people aren't supposed to do this. So all in all, these are religious tests to see if we're still under their bonds. You have to walk. The Bible says he sent us out as sheep among wolves. Excuse me. Be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. I tell you, if you're at work, work. Don't get to those conversations about what you're eating. If he asks, do you eat pork? No. Why? Because I don't like pork. Okay.
But I did want to tell you.
All right, go ahead. Go to the next thing. I'm just trying to help you sustain your job for a minute as long as you have the opportunity to work. But go on.
Yeah, I didn't run into anything like that, but he so we kept on talking. So he said he didn't I asked him, "Do you go to? Why do you you just eat your food?" And he asked me, "Are you praying over your food?" When he seen me pray on my food, I said, "Yeah." So maybe 2 days later, I told him I was saying, "Well, what you think about our conversation?" And he was saying, "Well, I believe, I'm just not, by me growing up and my parents don't believe in going to church, I'm not as devoted as you, but I am interested into your beliefs. I do want to come to your beliefs and how you believe. I just don't know what direction to go into." And now I see him saying his grace over his food. So I felt like I planted a seed for him to take some type of direction. Maybe not how I believe, but I feel like I planted the seed for him to follow in the right footstep.
Okay. Hey, brother, listen. Most I can do many things. How old is the young man?
He's 29.
29. All right. So he's seen you. He's seen you praying, and now he's praying over his food. So you've had influence. So how long have you known the young man?
Well, off and on when we not working, it's like a year.
A year. Okay. All right. Well, hey, it may work out. So all I can say is be very careful. Keep work at work, and if you're going to discuss anything concerning what you believe, make sure it's outside of the job where he can, if he's interested, you can invite him to church. But be very careful.
But that's the other thing I would need to talk to you about. I would need you to call me about inviting him to the church, something like that.
You don't have to call me for that. Invite him to church.
Well, it's involving the scorpions thing.
The scorpions? You're talking about the Jim Jones juice.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, again, speak to whoever we have in position at the church, and they'll let you know. They're talking about.
But I talked to them already. They don't really know.
I understand. He's talking about the inoculations, for those who don't know, whatever the case is. It's like this, brother. You speak to the elder deacon we have in position, and he'll direct you accordingly, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you. All right.
Thank you,
brother. All right. All right. Next call. We only got a few more before this broadcast concludes. Alexander has a question. And we still wait for that Christian to come. He's going to let us know about the Easter and prove Easter, Christmas, and Sunday to us so that we can join their church, if they can prove that. Alexander has a question.
Yes, Elder. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
How you doing, bro? You know what I'm saying? I've been wanting to call in and talk to you, man. I listen to your show all the time. And, you know, I think you're doing a good job, what you're doing.
Thank you.
I have a little question. Okay. I have a little question, man. I wanted to ask you, have you heard the little, what's going on about the name Jesus?
What's going on about name Jesus?
Yeah, but all these new laws and everybody trying to come up with the laws, you know, they want to try to lock you up, or they came up, they're trying to pass a law in Israel that if you say the name Jesus, it's like they could lock you up. They're trying to pass laws where they lock you up.
Well, no. It's not the word Jesus. See, this is how Christians are trying to get people back under their craft, thinking that Jesus is whom the Jewish people are looking to oppose as far as the word Jesus is concerned. All right? There was no such letter as J's during crisis time, so he could not have been called Jesus. That's an impossibility right there. Okay? So really what it's about, above all, is about proselytizing and converting people into Christianity. That's what they're trying to pass laws to stifle Christians converting those in Israel into Christianity. Now, the danger of that is, in the name of Jesus, they call Jesus. The danger of that is that once they come in, they'll learn the truth of Christ, and they'll find Christ's name. They'll find, and through Christ, guess what? The powers over dark Israel have no power over them anymore. Because there are atheists, nihilists, there are unbelievers amongst factions of their people. So what they're trying to stifle in spiritual, it's a spiritual battle here. They're trying to stop Christians from moving those who are under their power under the light of Christ in particular. They don't care if you say Jesus or whatever the case is. They don't want any more conversions. They understand it's spiritual warfare and a battle for souls. So I'm going to be talking about that this Friday on Patreon.
Yeah, because
and the reason why is because there's a lot of things we can't say here without being labeled something. But all in all, the reality is freedom of religion, and being that Christ was the most famous, recognized, quote-unquote, Jew from their standpoint, why now are they not accepting the notoriety that came with them attaching themselves to Jesus, right? As long as everyone believed that they were European, whatever the case, there was no issue. That's number one. Number two, if your religion is right, and this is my question for them, if they believe their religion is right and how they're serving is true, how can you make laws against anyone's freedom of religion within your country when you are actually advertising in the United States for Christians to support Israel, for Christians to come over and financially support the people there being the chosen people? So I believe that there need to be a conversation of what's really going on there, that now they've moved to a point in which they're now seeking to stop any level of Christian missionaries within the state of Israel. Is that prophetic? Well, I don't want to be called names tonight, so I'm going to deal with that this next Friday. I mean, in 2 days. Okay?
So, yeah, I watched a show with Harry. When you had Harry on there, and he was saying he really couldn't stand Jesus. He couldn't stand the word Jesus
if you ask me what this really is, because I don't believe they're gonna do anything to pass any law. This is a campaign to get people back under Christianity. All right, because they're losing so many souls in Christianity. So I think this is no different than a Democrat-Republican argument. I believe that the Christians at the helm and the Jewish powers at the helm are working together. And now, to get some steam, to get people back into believing that Christianity is the way, they're going to have this thing where Christians are being persecuted and everybody, it must be the truth because laws are being passed to stop people from saying his name. Let me tell you, if you ever been over Israel, and if you've ever been over the overseas, there's nobody trying to stop anybody from saying anything. You have Christians, Jewish people, and Muslims worshiping at the same wall. So if anything, this is the campaign to have everybody believe, man, that Christianity must be the real way since they're trying to stop that. So I don't believe it. I don't care about it because if they're promoting it, it's for a political reason. It's because what? Christianity is losing its steam, and people are coming to the knowledge of the truth. They're trying to keep people under the pagan Jesus with this, I believe. That's my opinion on that, but I can talk about that more next Friday, in 2 days.
Hell,
all right, his name is his name, and his name wasn't and isn't Jesus. Okay, there was no J's. A matter of fact, hold on 1 second, and then I have to go to the next call, brother. Let me go to the letter J. All right, I mean let's do this elementary. The letter J. Okay. Who has Google? Who has Google? All right. Brother, just relax for a second. Relax. I'm going to let you have the last word before I move it in because I'm teaching right now. All right?
Oh, go ahead, bro.
All right. 1 second. I know there's a delay, but work with me because I'm dealing with thousands of people who are looking on the other side of this. All right?
I got you.
And when you look at the letter J, all right, it says, until the year 1524, that's Anno Domini, that means after Christ, there was no letter J in the alphabet. Okay, until the year 1524, there was no letter J in the alphabet. Okay, the letter J was originally the same letter as I. I is synonymous with what? Y in certain scenarios. The father of the letter J is Gian Giorgi Trissino, okay, an Italian. An Italian author and grammarian who lived in 1478 to 1550. So the European Edomites created the letter J. So now, it would be an impossibility for anyone to have been casting out demons in the name of Jesus when J's weren't created until when? 1524. I know we're not in the academy, but I thought I would give a short lesson of common sense here. So, if there was no J's, then that's not the name Christ and the disciples were baptizing and casting out spirits. And guess what? The pagans are purposely hiding the name, knowing that Jesus, the word Jesus, is lower in their craft invocation. When it comes to what? The Kabbalah. They have a name higher than Jesus that the people in Jesus must serve the higher God, therefore serving the people who uphold Yahweh. That's why Christians will always be in servitude under, that's right, you'll always be in servitude under the Roman and Jewish factions. Because you don't know the name. The name, and I'm going to put it out there right now, his name is Yeshua. That's the name that they have no power over. Yeshua is his name. His name isn't Isaiah. His name isn't Joshua, because they want you to believe his name is Yeshua. Why? Because they don't like Christ. They would rather give the deliverance credit to Joshua, who delivered the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. So this is why they say his name was Joshua, so that they can give credit to Joshua and not Christ, not liking Christ. His name is Yeshua. What say you? You have the last word before I go to the next call.
Okay, Elder, you believe the word. You believe the Bible, don't you?
Is that a rhetorical question? Do I believe the Bible? Yes. I'm a Bible teacher.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to, you know what I'm saying? You know more than me, but you know what I'm saying? I got a scripture here for you. Revelation 22 and 19. I know you know the scripture. And it says this, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testified these things shall say it. Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, you go ahead.
That's all you have to say?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me make it clear. This, what you're reading, was translated out of the Greek record. There was no J's when Revelation was written. You understand that?
I understand what you're saying.
No, ain't what I'm saying. J's was non-existent during the time of Christ. That's a fact. Okay? This is where I thank you, brother, and segue. Have a great evening.
Okay. Hey, look.
All right, because we have to make time for other people. See, what we can't have is veil shots, all right? That's disingenuous at best. I would rather you came in and said outright, brother, I don't believe what you're saying. The word Jesus is above all, and that name stands above all, and that's who I believe in. Okay? I don't want you to come and say, well, that name needs to be recognized because Jewish people over in Israel is attacking it. Because really, it's about you upholding the name Jesus because that's what you called for. And that's okay. But instead of receiving the fact that I showed you that there was no J's during Christ's time, therefore it would be impossible for anybody, including Christ, to have been casting out demons in Jesus' name, you came rhetorical with me and pulled up Revelation 22 and said, claiming that I'm taking something out of the book of life by saying that Jesus, that word Jesus, shouldn't be the name above all names. Christ is the one above all names. He's the anointed, but his name was called Savior. Let's do it. Matthew 1. Let's read it. Let's read it. Matthew 1 and 21. You got to come straight, brother. I'll still deal with you. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Right? And we know it's there because it was there in the translation, all right? 1611 King James, that was after 1524. But the name Jesus wasn't there when Christ was born. For he shall save his people from their sins. So what? His name would derive from the word save. Save in the Hebrew is Yeshua. Yeshua is our Savior or my Savior. For he shall save his people from their sins. Yeshua. Okay? Get to that academy, brother. It's going to help you out. But in the meantime, if you want to believe that Jesus, hey, as long as you believe in what he did for us and his sacrifice, right now, that's enough for you to receive and get on the path. I have no problem with that. But we're not going to make a debate about a letter that didn't exist during Christ's time. That's not a debate at all. All right? Now, let's get to the next call. 410 area code.
Hey, Shalom, Elder. How you doing?
Shalom, I'm sorry. You're one of the few calls that are left, and then I have to go because we're 7 minutes away from closing, but the floor is yours.
Sir, just a couple quick questions and one comment, really. I'll start off with the comment because it's on the topic. I was going to say, with the witchcraft and warlocks thing, that's all part of their plan bring us into acceptance with the witches and warlocks, with all the movies of my generation growing up, like with all the witches and all of that, the vampires and everything. It's just again to just bring acceptance to those type of things. That's what the times we are in now. But I just wanted to make that statement, see what you thought about that.
That is correct. That's part of their craft. It's through deception and psychology to have us accept something we would do what? Reject otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Right, yes,
and you see what happens through that. Then it comes with accepting lifestyles that we would have rejected otherwise. And you're going to find out these lifestyles are attached to the same craft the Most High warned us of coming out of Egypt that destroyed us as a people. So we're under spiritual attack. And all in all, if we compromise, it doesn't stop with the compromise. These witches, warlocks, sorcerers, these reprobates will not only just take power that we hand over to them by complicity, they'll look to destroy even after we've actually compromised with them. And that's the danger of it. That's why I'm saying we need to back up all together, come to the Most High, and understand we're in a war. Draw a line in the sand and say, nah, there's no more inclusion. There's no more of any of that. There's no more me accepting you, imposing your will on my family. Mm. And it's about time we begin to stand up and say, nah, inclusion, what's that? Being tolerant, what's that? Because you're not going to include anything anti-God, anti-Christ with me.
Right.
So it's time for us to make a stand, because the more we capitulate, the more we compromise, the worse things become. But go ahead. You have the last word.
Yes, sir. Just two more questions. These are a little off topic. One, I was going to – I actually wanted to ask you this before Sabbath happened, because I wanted to get baptized. But I know how you said, you know, we're of our father's seed. And, you know, at first I thought I was a part of Benjamin because of my father. He's from they're from Trinidad. Then I realized my father's father was actually from the United States. This is where he was born. So then I thought I was part of Judah. And what I've come to realize the last couple of weeks was that my great-grandfather's, his father, was actually white. He was a Caucasian because he was Irish. That's where I get my last name from. So I just wanted to get your take on that. Does that make me a Gentile, Esau, Edomite, or what? Not really sure.
Okay, now suppose you were to go find out your grandfather, who was Irish, had a grandfather that was from Ghana. Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm sorry, what was the last part? I'm sorry.
Suppose you found the grandfather that you thought was Irish, that his grandfather was from Ghana.
Okay.
And you see where I'm going here with that?
Not really, I'm sorry. Can you elaborate?
Okay, well, this is where I'm going with that. I'm in 1 Timothy, right?
Okay.
The first chapter and the third verse, and I'm going to read that for you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Can you give me 1 second?
I beg your pardon?
Yeah, sorry. I was saying, can you give me 1 second to pull it up? 1 Timothy 3.
1 Timothy 1.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to read it. 1 and 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which ministers rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. So you can't make the core part of your belief system in Christ trying to figure out what father belonged to what man many generations ago.
Okay.
It's endless genealogies. That will become the full effort you will have within Christ's ministry, trying to find out who your father is. That's endless genealogies. Okay? I know that we're the children of Israel. I know that according to my bloodline, my fathers go back to chattel slavery, and they go back to different parts of Ghana. Right? So I'm a Judite. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm not going to strive in genealogies to try to find whether or not a white man was there, a Chinese man was there, whatever the case is, because that's endless genealogies. And like the example I gave you, same way you found out that you thought you were Benjamin, and then you had a father who was Negro in America, you thought she was Judah. And then you found that he had a father or grandfather that was Irish or a white man. If you look further, you can probably find that that white man had a father who was from Africa. Then what?
Right.
How long are you going to do this? Now, let me show you this. So what is the conclusion of the matter? Well, let's read this real quick. One second.
Yes, sir.
I'm in Matthew 25, and I need you to read this with me. This is Christ himself.
Yes, sir.
This is Christ's words, right? Matthew 25 and 31 reads, "When the Son of Man, that's Christ, shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." That's Christ here on earth now. "And before him shall be gathered all nations," that's all races of people, "and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them, on this right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So who's going to be this? Who's going to be doing the separation of nations when he returned, brother?
Christ.
Exactly. So he's going to know exactly what line everyone belongs in. I wouldn't strive if I was you in concerning who your father were. Just follow Christ and stand in as God, stand in as a saint of the Almighty who's accepted, whether you be an Israelite or a Gentile. And let him do the separation when it's time. Because if you're amongst us, you're not going to be treated nothing different than a brother. The same way if you were a so-called white man, if you was or Chinese man, if you came among, or an Asian or Arab man, if you come amongst us, you're going to be treated nothing less than a brother. We're going to treat you like a brother because there's a chance, there's a chance that anybody, you know, there's another race of people who we may think is one race of people who might be an Israelite. So all in all, we treat everyone like Christ and let Christ do the separating at the end. Got it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And the last thing was about the getting baptized. Just wanted to see if you have something close in Baltimore.
Yes, we do have a church there. What I can do is you send an email to gocc.south@gmail.com, and we'll have an elder call you or a deacon call you to set up a gathering with the church.
Okay, gocc.south@gmail.com. At Gmail, yes, sir.
All right.
All right, thank you so much, Elder. I appreciate it.
My brother, bless you.
Bless you, so.
All right, last call for the night. It's unfortunate that I can't take any more calls, but I will open up calls because I promised to do so for Patreon this Friday, so be there. I'm going to have an early Patreon starting around noon. You don't want to miss that. If you're interested, become a Patreon member, patreon.com/agathering144. If you want to support this particular broadcast, you can do so if you have Cash App, as you can see there. $GOCC144 donate. That goes specifically to the teachings you see every Wednesday as well as what? Saturday. $GOCC144 donate. If you don't have Cash App, that's okay. Go to Gathering of Christ, gatheringofchrist.org. When you go to gatheringofchrist.org, go to donate. And there's many options to support this work because there's much work to do. Last call, Brother Hakeem. I think I've seen Hakeem here. Where are you? Shalom, Hakeem. How are you?
Shalom, Elder. Good to talk to you.
My brother from the same mother. Talk to me, my brother.
Long time listener, Elder. You know, I always had a lot of questions as a youth growing up in Nigeria. You know, so since I got into the GOCC, just was one of the brothers in Times Square. I'm just like, really? They were just preaching, and just like, wow, these people are really humble. So I went online. I'm just like, wow, I'm just blown away, you know? So I just want to reach out to you. Me being from Nigeria, right? I know a few weeks ago you were talking about, I am a member of the HBA. You know, a lot of my questions is being answered so much, but the one thing I'm trying to get answered for is this old Yoruba Ifa religion. I am not a part of it, but I do know people.
The what religion?
The Yoruba Ifa.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about the craft.
Yeah, so I want to know.
Now.
Yeah, so I want to know, is that witchcraft? Because a lot of them mix, just like the video that was showing earlier, they mix the Christianity with it. So I'd be a little bit, like, confused. I'm like, is this true?
No.
Is it witchcraft or is it not?
Now, Ifa is high-level Satanism. It's straight witchcraft. Mm.
Okay. Because I remember a few weeks ago you were talking about you're going to go into it in the academy. So I just want to know, is that still part of the topic coming up in the next few weeks?
Yes. When I go into the African or the black churches of modern Christianity, we're going to cover Ifa too. It's from the pits of hell. And if people don't repent from that, they're going to hell practicing.
Understood. Thanks for answering that. And one last thing.
Yep, talk to me.
Me living here in San Francisco, right?
Yep.
I'm in the food industry. I am a chef with my own business.
Okay. All right.
Of course, you know the colorful community. They're big out here. So me trying to leverage the old business side, trying to get grants, knowing those people, they are like, you know, they can easily be accommodated easily by me being a black man. I brought them into my business as a partner. One of them screwed me over. The second person, she's awesome, but she's part of the community. So I just want to know, is that something, would you ever do that or no? Because I don't know. Like, would you go into business with one of them or not? What's your thought?
You mean would I go into business with a witch or a warlock?
No, not a witch or a warlock. Like the people in the Atlanta community.
Listen, the Bible says, "Do not become unequally yoked with unbelievers." The first thing I would have to look at. What I'll do and what someone else can do is two separate scenarios. Because what is the message I'm sending if the Bible says you're not to deal like that, and then some people see me out there as business partners with someone like that, right?
Okay.
So I'm not going to tell you what to do with your business. Even in the world, even before the Most High has given me this truth, no, I cannot. The Bible tells me I cannot be unequally yoked with unbelievers. I must prefer those who are within the fold. So if I'm going to go, if there is a business that I'm going to do that's going to help someone, it'd be someone in the fold. It wouldn't be to help someone who's working contrary against my existence. Okay? Even indirectly, these people are working against our God. So that's an individual choice, but no. And a lot of people are going into business with them because the grants that came, the minority grants that once belonged to our people, they have access to now. It's making it where you can't even do business in our community unless you're in league or you tie business ties with them. And that's unfortunate.
And that was
because
Yeah, that's one of the main reasons, too, for me particularly.
Because under Barack Obama, the money that was for our businesses now is under this minority umbrella, where now it don't go to our people who are suffering. Someone must identify as alternative lifestyles to actually get access to what was ours. See? So, and let me tell you, that it's an open coffer for them now. In order for you to actually get money out of the government, you have to almost, if you're one of our people, you have to almost identify with them or partner with them. And that's a choice that you would have to make. But, you know, I wouldn't do it.
Okay, understood that. Thank you so much, Elder. Waiting on Patreon on Friday. Thank you so much. And HBA and Saturday and Sunday. I'm ready. Let's go. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
brother. Have a good evening.
And Luke. I call Luke, Bishop Luke Water Walker. They got Skywalker. You know, I'm like Luke Water Walker. He's from San Francisco, so I'm going to have him reach out to you. All right?
Oh, okay. Great. Thank you.
My brother. I said I would take one more, but I'm taking one more because there's a call by Rudy, and it looks like it's a Skype call with no particular area. I don't know. Maybe this is a Christian that's going to come in with that challenge I put out there. I don't know. We'll see. Rudy.
Shalom, Elder. No, I'm not the Christian that's going to go up against that.
Oh, not to go up against. Hey, you can. Hey, you have it. If they can show me Sunday, Easter, or Christmas, hey, I'm ready to pack up and join a church. But let's go.
I had a scripture question. It's like two precepts, Galatians 2:16 and Romans 2:13. You want to read it?
No, let me get it with you real quick.
Okay.
I want to make sure I follow it with you while everyone here is looking at it also. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Because who knows? Someone out there might have the same question you do, right?
Okay.
So one moment, let me pull it up. All right. All right. Let's see. Let me big so that they can all see it. All right. And you said we are at Galatians 6, correct?
No, 2:16.
Galatians 2. All right. I'm sorry about that. Galatians 2. And let me blow it up so they can see it. 16.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Let's read it.
Okay. You want me to read?
Go ahead.
Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So the other scripture is Romans 2:13.
No, let's go there. Let's stay at 16.
Okay.
So now let me ask you, is this saying that we're not supposed to follow the law?
No. I definitely believe in the law.
What this is showing is that the law in of itself, a man cannot be justified.
Right.
Why? Because if you break one law, you break them all. So without accepting Christ, the law is void.
Right.
Well, this is not saying you shouldn't follow the law. But you had people, let me tell you, you had people who was what? Rejecting Christ. And thought that their righteousness could be accepted by God by following the law only.
Right.
So that don't justify you. Because Christ mm-hmm. covers the things that we don't even know we're breaking. And that's where grace mm-hmm. comes in to cover those things.
Mm-hmm.
The mistake
mm-hmm.
Christians are making, they'll pull the scripture up and say the law is done away with. And we're not mm-hmm. supposed to follow it. No.
Right. What Paul is teaching here is what? That you're not justified by the law alone.
Mm-hmm.
You got that?
Yes.
Okay, what's next?
The other one is Romans 2:13.
Okay, let's get it. Romans 2 and 13. Let's read it.
Okay. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. So I understand both scriptures in context, but when I'm trying to put them together, I'm getting confused about what's the overall thing here.
It says, but not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. When it says the doers of the law, it breaks it down when you read the next verse. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things which contained in the law, so that means they're doing right, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which means if the Gentiles are following the ways of Christ and doing what's right without anyone telling them anything, then what they're doing naturally without the law shows that Christ is in their conscience. They're still, they're not stealing, they're not committing adultery, they're not breaking God's law intentionally. So now the Most High see their natural care for him as righteousness, and he's counting that as righteousness. Even though they're not Israelites, he's still counting their works without the law as righteous. So he's accepting that because their heart is pure towards following God, right? And then it says, which show the works of the law written in their hearts. They're doing the right thing, even with less knowledge than an Israelite. Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. Right? So it's also showing you that there's people without the law that are good people that's doing the best they can. And the Most High is going to count that law as righteousness. The example I can give you. My grandmother and grandfather didn't know what I knew, but they did the best they could with what they had in the Christian church. So in that, the Most High counted their works within the church as righteousness based on the knowledge they knew. You understand? He's not going to blame them for the things they didn't know. So he counted their works at that time as righteous. You got that?
Yes.
Okay.
So, but
now,
in the
Paul
others...
also said he consent. Let me show you something. He also said he consented that the law was good. Right?
Right.
Paul consented that the law was good. Why? Because it was through the law he had the knowledge of sin.
Mm-hmm.
How would he know not to commit adultery or what is adultery or sin if the law didn't say thou shalt not commit adultery?
Mm-hmm.
So Paul made it clear that the law is to be followed.
Mm-hmm.
You got it?
Yeah, so in one instance, the Most High is counting these acts within the people as righteous. But on the other side, he's saying, well, just because you follow all the laws, that doesn't make you justified. Is that right?
Well, but you have to understand the context. Those who are trying to be justified strictly by the law isn't accepting Christ's position that covers you under grace. So we have Israelites right now who claim they believe in the God who sent Moses. They believe in the laws and teach the laws and remember the Sabbath and all of that, but yet rejects Christ. So even though they're following all those laws, that's not justifying them. If they don't accept the blood of Christ or the sacrifice of Christ, all those laws they're following are for nothing. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're saying about people who's predominantly under what they would call the Jewish faith, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. They got a lot of laws, orthodox laws that some of them follow, but they outright reject Christ. So all of their works is for nothing because Christ was written in the law.
Mm-hmm.
Christ was that lamb without blemish, that atonement that would come to take away the sin that's written in the Old Testament. So them following the laws, going to Passover and everything, doesn't justify them because they're not accepting the one who would fulfill the law, Christ.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right?
Okay. Yeah, okay. Thank you. Appreciate that.
You're welcome, my brother. And thank you all.
Bless you.
It's been a great night. Stay away from witches, warlocks. They're everywhere. They're being what? That's right. They're being incentivized. And yes, they are social grenades being used. They're being weaponized. Witches have been weaponized to destroy society. Watch them. Watch them carefully. They're the ones out there upholding these holy days. Okay? They're everywhere. They're everywhere, folks. Stay careful from them. Protect our children from them. And if the Spirit allow, convert them into the marvelous light who is Christ. With that, I'm Elder Ricard Chiard. Thank you, Elder Lawyer of the Gathering of Christ Church. And this concludes our weekly broadcast, Witches Infiltrated Christianity. We're the children of Israel, and we're back. Blessings.
Shalom.
Shalom, Elder Lawyer.
Yes, sir. Shalom.